to another episode of Worst Collection Ever here on Sideshow Network. I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And we are here, as we are every week, to bring you the worst from our collections, which is also the worst.
All worstest.
The worstest collection
the
ever.
The worstest.
The worstest collection ever of comic books that you have ever seen or heard of. Because we buy a lot of them on purpose, and they're really cheap, and they're pretty ridiculous. And today is no different.
Nope.
And we got a doozy for you.
I can't wait for that. In the second half.
But first, yes, first.
First.
We are going to talk about Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
Manhunter volume, I want to say this is volume 3. I don't remember what volume it is. Yeah. It's the one from the 90s.
Sure.
Okay. It's not marked. This is DC Comics' Manhunter, number 7,
uh-huh.
from June 1995. And it is the most extreme comic book you will read this week.
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
That is correct. It is a book.
It is a book. I have no fucking clue what's going on in this book for the first few pages. Probably because I did not read the book before it.
I don't think it really matters, to be honest.
But nothing makes any sense.
No, yeah, it doesn't.
Explain this book to me.
Yeah. So basically, the cover,
some fists.
Is
because that's how fucking extreme this book is.
It's Manhunter, who is
a guy who hunts mans.
Well, okay, so there's been many Manhunters.
Yes.
Throughout DC Comics.
Yes, there has.
And this, in particular, is the Chase Lawler version of Manhunter. He's Manhunter number 4.
Great.
And
fists.
He's super 90s looking.
Oh yeah, it's awful.
Because he's got like giant shoulder pads and whatever.
His shoulder pads are thing.
He's got some shoulder pads. And
I don't know how he fits through doorways.
There's a moment where we'll talk about that. I don't know how he fits through anything here.
Yeah, because you're just like that
space wise it should not work.
Physics doesn't work that way. Like you can't fit the big thing through the smaller thing. When it's not flexible. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And whatever.
Yeah. But basically, Chase is the Manhunter. Chase uh-huh. Lawler. So here's a story about this Manhunter. As far as I can understand. And I've you know, this is back when, like, I was into comic books. So I was like, oh, I can kind of understand comic books. But I still don't get it.
No. I just want to talk about this issue. I don't know what happened. It's kind of like somebody had an acid trip and put it in a comic book. And it's not like a Grant Morrison acid trip put in a comic book. This is just like, fuck it. And like throw a bunch of shit on the page. Because like these first couple pages, I don't know what's happening.
Well, let me just, okay. So basically, I'll just explain. Manhunter is kind of like a mantle of sorts.
Right.
And I don't know why this guy was picked, to be honest. Like maybe I should read Manhunter 0 or Manhunter number 1.
Meh.
But he's a musician.
Okay.
Like a rock musician.
We have a theme.
Yes. Yes, it fits.
It'll tie in later.
But it's a rock musician. He's a musician who becomes the Wild Huntsman, and he gets all these powers, but basically he's got regeneration and strength, and he can kind of glide in the air
uh-huh.
and stuff like that.
Great.
But... So we started off with him. Actually, I don't know what the hell's going on.
I told you, I don't understand what's going on. So all of a sudden, like, the first page we open is a splash page, has Manhunter who wears, like, a mummy wrap on his head.
Well, for some reason,
supposed to be, like, a bandana or something, but it has, like, these long hangies off the back
of it. Well, I don't know why he's not wearing his mask. Like, he spends a lot of time not wearing his mask.
Right, and there's, like, they're talking about being in the desert, and there's, like, some woman who I guess we learn later, her name is White Lotus.
White Lotus.
Is fucking bullshit. And she's, like, on a rock being ridiculously Escher Girl. And, like, they're just like, all these narration boxes that just don't... He's like, he is the Manhunter. he has his reasons, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, great.
It's the most vaguest comic.
It is. And I'm like, okay, now what? And so now we've got, like, Manhunter in his shoulder pads, like, running and jumping. And then there's a panel that looks like Ronald Reagan's face is dissolving into to lines. Like, what's going on there?
Okay, so I think what's happening here is... Okay, so this is something like where he's fighting somebody.
Right? Is he, though? I'm thinking something's happening to his, like, his brain.
No, because it says rewind.
Okay. Right, because he thinks the things that he always... Because that's what it says. He repeats this, a mantra, blah, 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 blah. That's what it means by rewind.
Well, I feel like it has something to do with the end of this issue.
All right, well, we'll have to get there.
Because let me look at the last page here, and maybe I'll figure... Yeah. Okay, he's basically, I'm kind of reading here, and I'm like, okay, so he's talking shit to whoever this person is.
We never see this guy.
We don't see who this person is, and we're going back, you know, and so we go back to, you know, him, he's on a bed, and he's talking to Malig, who is some guy that he doesn't like.
And who has a dragon coming out of his neck or something. In the next panel.
Yeah, he's some sort of guy. And then he's sure. with this girl. There's two women in here that apparently he's with. Something happened last issue. So basically he was ill and he was brought to this guy for help.
And this guy was like, I have bad eyebrows.
And this guy's like, well, look, you're supposed to be a manhunter.
Congrats.
You
wear these ugly shoulder pads.
Well, he's just telling him, it's like, you're supposed to hunt. You're supposed to be...
Hunt mans,
because you're a manhunter, so why aren't you doing that?
Yeah.
And so this guy is having, like, this... You know, so Chase is having this big conflicted issue...
With these two broads.
With these two women, and, you know, this Malik guy is like, you're a hunter, you gotta go do some prey hunting, you know, that's your gimmick.
He's going like, up.
And he's like, I don't wanna, this guy's a manipulator, he turned me off... And there's this weird drawing of, like, one of these women that he's yelling, you know, Chase is yelling at or whatever.
It looks like a mannequin head.
It's like a mannequin head that's leaking.
Yeah.
You know, she's got, like, a brown wig. It's just weird. It's just some weird drawings.
There's a big dragon behind, I don't
know. Yeah, some dragons and stuff like that. So
none of that makes sense.
So now we cut to, I think he's out to do his job. And
hunted men?
He's got to find somebody named the Barbarian.
Okay.
Who, I don't know who this Barbarian guy is. He's just a bad guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He's got to find and that guy.
He somehow he's headed to Reno.
Yes.
And this White Lotus girl, I think it's White, or is this the White Lotus?
Yeah, I think that's her. And she's following him.
She's following him, and she's like, "Yeah, he's like on his way to Reno. I think we gotta like stop him." And you know he because apparently you know he's looking. She could see. How he's looking at a map.
Mm-hmm.
Her things, her stuff is so good that she, her backers are so good she could see how he's looking at a map.
And luckily he's pointing exactly where he wants her to go.
He's pointing exactly at Reno.
Yeah. He's like, oh, this place right there. And then as that's going on, like, we're in a lab now.
We're in a lab and Barbarian is on the phone talking to I think White Lotus.
Yeah.
And we don't really see... I don't understand what the fuck Barbarians...
We never really see these people again in this book.
Well, I don't even know if this is how he's supposed to look, though, because he's got, like, these shadows.
Yeah, he's really strange looking.
Like, he's all kind of shadowed up, and you can't really see his face at all.
Yeah.
But he's got, like, these bracelets with, like, these pink beads on them.
Yeah. And there's, like, also another... There's another guy they have captive...
So they have this guy captive called, he wants to be called Incarnate.
Okay.
And he's some sort of, like, Houdini, I guess.
Or super strong guy, because basically they have him, like, chained up and, like, blindfolded, and then, like, you know, they put a thing in his mouth so he can't talk, and he just busts this shit out. And he's like, I've been here for, like, 1,400 years, ha ha ha, I'm great. And then he, like... Fights his way out, hits...
He fights a bunch of cops.
Barbarian in the face with a rock, and then he starts fighting cops.
Well, I don't know. This is a weird thing. Like, he hits this cop.
Did he punch his head off?
It looks like he punches this cop's head off.
I think.
But it's just, like, a helmet that he's kind of smashing.
Maybe.
And he's got, like, some sort of...
Power fist.
power fist. Like, it looks like a like brass knuckles, but like glass.
Sure.
And like it's on his fist. I don't really know what his power is. But he's just like, he looks like Quicksilver.
Yeah.
Or like John Slattery.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just kicking people's asses.
Yeah, and then he wants to borrow someone's car.
Yeah, and so then, yeah, so
and
he's about
that, to... I think that's the last we see of him,
that's
actually.
It. That's it for him.
Yeah.
So now we go back to Chase, and he's in the airport.
In a bathroom.
In a bathroom, and he's like...
White Lotus follows him in.
Well, he's doing the thing where he's like, he's washing his face in the sink because...
Do people actually do that? I've never seen anything.
Well, that was a thing I heard on, with, How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
Where Paul Scheer talked about that at length. He's like, you know, I've never actually done that. Like, walked into a hotel, to a bathroom, and just douse a cold water face. I bet it would feel pretty good. You know, and maybe I might understand, like, you know, if you're a traveler and you need to wash up, you know, you do that in the sink.
Yeah,
know?
But, like, it always seems to be, like, whatever you're all worked up, somebody goes, and it's always a dude, because women aren't going to do that. It washes our makeup off. Some dude just, like, wanders into the bathroom, and he, like, puts cold water on his face, and then he, in a public restroom, then he dries it off. And is that a thing?
I've never seen people do that.
I've never seen
the guy do that, walk in there and just be like, I'm refreshed. My life is in shambles, you know, whatever. and he's like covered in water here, which is kind of weird, because
it's like steaming up the mirror.
He's got hot water on, and he's steaming up the mirror, and he's covered in water.
Yeah.
Like, he's taking a shower for crying out loud.
Pretty much. And White Lotus is like, stand.
Yeah, she shows up and she's like,
starts talking to him.
She's got these ridiculous boots. I mean, ridiculous thighs.
She's a ridiculous drawing. Like, she is ridiculously drawn.
Thighs can't be that big.
Well, they can't be that long.
Or that long. That's what I mean.
In relation to the rest of her body, it doesn't make any sense.
Like, there should be, like, people, like, you know, doctors being like, women's thighs are too long in this in our universe.
They are.
We need to figure this out. Like, why are your thighs so long?
Right.
Like,
I mean, compared to her arms, she looks like she has really long legs and stubby little arms. She's like a T-Rex.
Yes. So she finds him in the bathroom, and she's like, I'm here to take you in.
He's like,
and
no.
He's like, and he's like, who are you? And she's like, shut up. And she just shoots him with a dart.
Yeah, shut up. Here's a dart.
And then they start having a...
And she says it's like some sort of toxin, I guess. Maybe that's why the beginning of this book looks all fucked up, because it's like a circle.
Well, okay, I think, am I supposed to believe that this happened? Wait.
So, okay, here's my working theory. We start the actual story of this comic book.
We start the actual story of the comic book at the end. But the actual story...
What is this, page 3?
Page 3.
Okay, so that's the beginning. And then we go through, like, he's thinking back to what happened last issue. Then he's at the airport. Then he gets shot in the neck with the dart that has some sort of toxin in it. Because she tells him it does. And that's why the first few pages where he's fighting the guy that he's fighting make no goddamn sense.
Well, no, because he's fighting...
Because he's under the influence of the toxin.
No.
Yeah, that's why it looks weird.
It looks weird when he's talking, when he's waking up on that bed. But the actual story starts with the end of this issue, which we will get to.
Yes, I know, but no. Okay, so... Yes, the actual story starts with the end of this issue. But first, we have to go through how he got there. That's why I'm saying the story actually starts on this page, where he's remembering what happened to him. Now he's like, okay, now I'm in an airport. Now I'm doing my thing. Now I'm encountering this person, which will then eventually lead... All these steps will eventually lead me to the last page. And then...
Okay. So he has... Okay, so he's having
this... Right here comes after. This first page comes after the last page.
I guess. See, that this first page doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense unless you put it.
Well, okay, no, it does make sense. Because it's what happens exactly after.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll get to it.
Does that make more sense now?
I think it makes sense. Okay.
It took me a while to figure that out. Okay.
Guys, don't read this book.
Don't read this book. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. You have to, like, go back and forth. It's like a circle.
It's no wonder that this comic only lasted literally, I think, like 13 issues.
Yeah.
Or 12 issues.
So there's a lot of fight. They fight after she shoots him in the neck with a dart. I don't know. I think he breaks a mirror.
He breaks a mirror. It's actually just a shot of the mirror.
It looks like it's blood all over
it. Looks like he smashed his head in the mirror and just left all of his brains here.
Or poo.
He just got that taking a shit. He's like, I got shot ass first.
Shoving this into the mirror. Gross.
Well, so he's fighting her in this mirror, and that's funny because there's some guy that just... And actually it's kind of funny because it's like, that's the thing where you're like, I got to take a piss.
Right.
And you just walk in there and you see... You know,
a woman
with giant thighs.
Extremely long thighs.
Very long thighs fighting a guy with a ponytail. And you're like, holy shit, what's going on? And
she'll go find another bathroom.
He's like, I'd be fucking scared. So he finds, she knocks him out or something, and she gets away.
Yeah.
And he decides, like, okay, well, I'll just get on this plane or whatever. And, you know, we go back to the barbarian. And he's tracking him, or he's tracking Incarnate, because the guy stole a car.
Yeah, he's tracking him, and he says something that doesn't make sense.
So that's our boy.
Going, where is he?
He's going 180 East, Denver, Kansas City, Chicago, I don't know. Okay.
So can I point out that 180 does not actually go through Colorado? That I-80, nope, sure doesn't, goes north. It does not hit Colorado. Or Kansas.
Well...
I-70 does.
Right. Well, they must figure that out.
Yeah, no, because it doesn't.
I-70 did not want to be associated with this.
Yeah.
No. So they were like, yeah, we'll just up
it. Yeah. No, it goes through Wyoming, but it doesn't go through Colorado.
So, Chase is on the plane, and he realizes that
now this woman, the stewardess, that's not that woman from earlier. It looks exactly like her, though.
No, it's not.
All right. So he's on the plane, and there it's like nighttime. And
so he's like,
he gets up to do something.
Well, gets up because he realizes that he's going to miss getting to Barbarian in Reno.
Okay.
And so he gets up and I don't know what his plan is here.
I don't know what it is.
But he gets up and we find out that Lotus is flying alongside the plane.
She has a jetpack.
She has a jetpack and she's got like some blonde guy on the plane to kind of help her out.
Yeah.
And so he goes into the fucking bathroom and somehow
changes into his insane costume.
He puts on his shoulder pads.
I don't know how he comes out of the restroom. It doesn't make sense. He comes out sideways, apparently.
He comes out of this restroom somehow fully bedecked.
Yeah, he punches the door open first.
Because he finds this, because this guy's trying to, like, you know, just tracking him. This blonde guy's tracking him, and he's like, what are you doing? And they start fighting on this plane, which, of course, don't fight on a fucking plane.
Right.
And he's like, you're following me. And he's like, what are you doing, you crazy man? What's going on? You know, and this guy's just like, I just wanted to use the bathroom. And, you know, and out comes fucking Manhunter with... I can't understand. How does he fit in his entire getup? I mean, the airborne bathrooms are small.
Yes.
And he's taking what's the equivalent of, like, football shoulder pads, even bigger than that.
Yeah, they're like football shoulder pads times six.
Like, take it, and somehow he packed this into like a duffel bag?
A tiny duffel bag. That's a tiny duffel bag. So unless they like fold down, I don't know. They've got spikes everywhere, and like...
Yeah, he's got like a belt, you know, because it's the 90s. And he's got like his leotard, which how he had the space to put... I mean, unless if he has most of it on, like, underneath already.
Well, the leotard's easy. That smush is small. But, like, everything else...
No, I mean, but, like, trying to put that on, you know, I mean, he has to... I don't know. So they start fighting, and this guy accidentally opens up the...
Emergency exit,
and Manhunter flies out of there.
Yeah.
And, of course, the airport's, you know...
Yeah,
the
everybody's going to die.
Airplane's fucked, but he's flying.
Yep.
And, you know, Lotus starts chasing after him.
Can he fly?
Well, that's what I said. So, because earlier, because he has, like, kind of like the... How would I describe it? The Wonder Woman way of flying. Like, he can kind of glide on currents.
I thought Wonder Woman could actually fly. Gargoyles can only glide on currents.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought that was the whole thing about that. Because I remember before, like, when I first started getting back in the comics a couple years ago, I was like, Wonder Woman could fly? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because you always thought she took a plane.
Well, she has both.
But why does she always gotta use the plane?
I don't think she uses it as much anymore, even though it's neat.
Why does a plane even exist, though, if she could already fly?
Well, because it's old school. Like, she couldn't always fly. She can now.
Well, anyways, he kind of does what he does. Like,
so he glides on aircraft. He's like gargoyles.
He has, like, a wind... Yeah, he has, like, a gargoyle wind command thing. And yeah. He's kind of doing that. And she's like, hang on. What, you know, you're flying. He, even though he's free-falling a minute ago.
Yeah. And he looked terrified.
Yeah, so he's free-falling, but he's okay. And so he grabs... You know, he starts fighting Lotus in the midair, and he's like, he grabs her, and they start free falling. Which I don't even know how this starts again, because
she's got a jetpack.
She's got a jetpack, which she uses to basically throw him off.
Yeah, and she's like, well, I guess I'll have to take you in. She's like, I would have rather taken you in alive, but you know, whatever. So then they're going to have a huge fight, and then all of a sudden you get this dude, you see a fist, and it says, stop it, and there's this big white yellow light.
And now we're back. Okay, so it goes stop, so that, rewind,
that,
play.
Right, so that's where that yellow light comes into the beginning, and they all fall down.
Right.
Okay, so now after that, now we're back here again. This makes no sense. Why you would do this. It's all the jumping around is really dumb. Anyway, so, like, then he's like, and there's this guy.
And he's like, he's all incensed now. And he's got
how do you even make that face? That's like a grumpy cat face.
How do you make that mouth?
That's what I mean. It's your a mouth grumpy cat mouth.
Like, your mouth physically, like, because he's
showing all of his teeth and frowning so much you can see, like, just... At the corners of his mouth, you can see the gums, but you can still see all of his teeth.
But he has no, like, upper lip. His upper lip is going back.
Like this?
Yeah. Like, he's doing the Jim Carrey kind of, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, he's got the Jim Carrey...
Oh, yeah, he's
Fire
doing...
Marshal Bill.
Yeah, Fire Marshal Bill, but frowning.
Yeah.
Like, serious frowning, like Grumpy Cat frowning, while Fire Marshal Bill. So imagine that.
And so he's on the ground, and, you know, he's like, what's his face? The person's like, you're one of those, aren't you? You think it's all about you.
You almost killed all those people.
You scumbag. And we get to the final page,
it's fucking Captain Atom.
It's Captain Atom looking very wide.
Huge, with hair, by the way. This Captain Atom with hair has always been something that I hate.
Well, he always has hair.
No. Sometimes he has the... It's just a smooth, bald head. It's not the flowy, long...
Oh, well, but I'm used to him having flowy, long hair.
No, I don't like that. I like either the military cut looking Captain Atom square head. I do not like this flowy, long hair thing.
Well...
I frown upon it.
Yeah, and he's looking very, like, Triple H, like, wide.
Yeah, he's very
wide. Like, he's got a giant batch.
He might actually...
Like, giant, wide. It's weird.
He might actually be as wide as Manhunter's shoulder pads.
I think he is, yes.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, like, he's the size of a couch.
Yes. Well, maybe it's just a perspective, because he's on the ground, you know, because we're kind of looking up at him.
Ugh.
You know,
he's
but
got
it
an
just,
8-pack, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he's got a very weird, like, just a weird body.
Yeah.
And he's got flowing hair, and he's...
He's on fire.
He's flying. And basically, he's like, look, I just had to save that plane from dying.
Now I am mad.
And now I gotta take you in because you're just some scumbag, you know, scumbag
with,
hero. I don't know.
Shoulder pads.
With shoulder pads. Like, and rightfully so, because, you know, this is... Because he's a brand new hero. And he's kind of like... What purpose does he serve,
right,
you know, to anything here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the DC universe. It's kind of like fate.
Yeah.
You know, like fate. Like, he's one of those heroes who, like, he literally exists, and then, you know, occasionally he might run into, like, another person in the DC universe, but then he sucks so bad that, like, his series doesn't even stick around long enough. His existence doesn't even stick around long enough. To, like, matter in the DC universe. Like, and that's basically the end of this book, this issue.
Boo. Would you read the next issue?
Actually, I would.
Do you have the next issue?
No, but I could probably find it. You know, because it's Manhunter from 1995. And literally, it's
no one 20, wants it.
Nobody wants it, and I'll find it. And I actually, you know why? Because I kind of have I'm kind of intrigued by Captain Atom for some reason.
Okay,
Captain Atom is a very boring, confusing character in some ways, but at the same time, I'm attracted to his. Like, the fact that he's, like, a silver guy with hair, and he's like a living nuclear reactor.
He's in a containment suit.
And he's a containment suit, and it's just a very, I don't know, I'm interested in him, but a lot of times when I read books, his books,
mm-hmm.
and with, especially with, like, because I recently, and we'll do one of his books in the future, but, like, I have, like, an issue I just bought recently with him and Red Tornado in it, uh-huh. and I have one with, like, him and Swamp Thing in it, and I'm like, oh, I like those guys. I want to see how this interacts. And it's just boring.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing going on. So, I mean, I'm just wondering, well, maybe there's something that happens with these two guys,
yeah.
you know, in this next issue. So I'll read it.
Okay.
You know, and we'll see how it goes. I don't know. Did I ask you if you would read it?
No, but you didn't. But no, I would not.
Okay.
Nope.
Indeed.
Nope. The fuck out.
And Manhunter. The funny thing about this Manhunter is that he went on
to suck.
He literally did. He literally did. Like his series ended like five or six issues from now.
Uh huh.
And then the next time he appeared was in the new version of Manhunter.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the Kate Spencer Manhunter.
Yep, Lady Manhunter.
Lady Manhunter. And he just showed up just to die.
Yay!
He was killed by one of the older Manhunters.
Yay!
That later just shows up. He's like, hey, I'm here. And I think I want to find that book where he just shows up. And he's like, I think he just kind of shows up and says, yeah, you remember me? I used to be that guy. And then, like, he dies.
Yay!
So that's Manhunter. June 1995, Manhunter number 7, June 1995, with Extreme Solutions on the cover.
Uh-huh.
This is probably one of the most confusing books I've ever read.
Boo.
So this next book...
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh my god.
This is insane. I can't believe... I didn't even know this was a thing.
I didn't know this was a thing either. This is weird. So, right after, okay, so we're doing a book called Nightcat.
Marvel's Nightcat. What the fuck is that?
From April 1991, although
yeah,
it's...
There's only, like, one issue.
This is literally the only issue. And it's funny because this is, like, printed in, like, the fancy...
It is, like from, really nice paper.
Yeah, it's, like...
It's got a super realistic cover. I mean, like, they went all out.
Well, it's painted by, you know, the cover painting's by Jill Jusko, who's just fantastic. And on the cover it says, America's hottest singing sensation is now Marvel's newest superhero.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Please remember that.
All right. So, and on the cover, we have Nightcat with... Nightcat's a lady.
With some insane hair.
Giant hair.
Fringe.
Fringe like fucking Macho Man.
Yeah.
Some crazy-ass fringe. And...
Ass.
Like, she's got some serious glutes.
Yeah.
Wearing probably the most impractical trash... It's a pretty... Well... There's been worse.
Yeah.
But...
Holding a
bow, staff of some sort. And there's little baby cats.
I know. Look at the adorable cats.
But they're not safe because she's standing on, like...
She's on a rooftop.
On a rooftop ledge or something, like, posing. And these cats are like, meow, meow, meow.
You know? You're like, do you really need another cat-based person when you already have... There's Catwoman. And
I think this one's hissing at the ground, actually. Just see.
He's probably like, no... I'm so high up, I might die. He's meowing at it. Yeah, let me down.
These poor cats.
Feel bad for the cats.
Can we get information that the cats in this painting were safe?
The fake cats in this painting were fake safe.
Fake safe. So, let's just...
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, I don't know where to start. So basically, okay. So Nightcat. This is something, okay, we were at Collector's Paradise here in L.A.,
Pasadena,
and looking about finding some gems for the show.
Yeah.
And found this.
Some great stuff.
And now here's the thing. I know about a lot of random Marvel and DC shit.
Yeah, you do.
And I found this, and I've never heard of this. No, wait. I correct myself. I remembered this from a Marvel bullpen. Okay, now from another issue that I had where they reference it, and they're like, hey, get ready for Nightcat. No, like
she's coming.
But the thing is, though, Marvel puts out a lot of random books. Yeah. I mean, they put out fucking NFL Super Pro, for crying out loud, which was a superhero that was dressed as a football player.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Sure.
And it was like an NFL Marvel like thing, right? Yeah,
that's the thing.
That's the thing. But yeah, so they put out a lot of random stuff. So yeah. Okay, so I did hear of this. However, I didn't know it actually existed. Any further than just it being like, oh, here's another new book.
Right.
Because
sometimes they don't always come out.
Well, right. But there's a thing. It's not just a book.
Oh, no. It's a tie-in.
It is literally a media empire.
It is. It's like it's a fucking advertising campaign. So there is, they have Nightcat. And the reason that she's painted so realistically is because they've actually already cast a woman to play her. In movies, and also she sings the Nightcat album, apparently exists.
Well, she's the woman that was cast is a singer. She wasn't cast to like star in movies. I mean, eventually, maybe.
But yeah, I'm assuming that's what this was. It was started because they had that in mind.
This is exactly so this is exactly what they wanted to do. That what we're describing here,
yeah,
is what they wanted. They wanted Dazzler to happen.
Okay.
In the early 80s, because Dazzler was going to be basically like she was created as
a singer
character that they were going to act, and they actually did put out music for her. You know, Casablanca record, Casablanca Records, which was like Kiss's record label for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, one of the labels. You know, they had a connection.
Yeah.
To this, to Dazzler and everything, and they were going to make her into a big rock star, and they're going to have music and stuff, and basically do the 1-2 punch, right?
Right.
And so, I mean, but Dazzler, the thing about Dazzler is like her character, even though her first of all. The marketing and all the stuff kind of fell apart for her, but they kept the character going, and they kept her going as like as a series, and just have her involved in a lot of the things, and she still kind of is around today. Nightcat, not so much.
No. Also, here's the other weird part about this: the woman that they cast as Nightcat. They use her actual name as the name of the character in this book.
Which is weird as fuck.
So this is a very weird, somewhat meta thing. Because when you open it up, you're like, okay. And then you flip the next page. There is a picture of this woman dressed in the Nightcat costume. Like a legitimate picture. Of her with the whole thing.
She has giant hair. She has a Nightcat medallion.
Yeah, it's just...
in her headband.
Like, what is this... What? Like, why is this woman the focus here? Like, why?
See, it's weird because, they cast a woman and then they wrote the comic as opposed to, like, creating the character and getting the character on its feet and then kind of building, which is what they kind of tried to do with Dazzler, which is probably why Dazzler is still a character.
Right.
Where this is literally, they found a woman
who could sing and they were like, and who they thought looks good, and they're like, okay, great, you're going to be Nightcat, and we're going to draw this character to look like you, and she's going to have your name.
Right. So now, also, too, we need to also point out...
yes.
This book...
Yes.
Was written by the one and only Stan Lee.
Yep, just keep that in mind.
Stan Lee. Stan Lee, who created Spider-Man...
wrote this book.
And Fantastic Four, and all these great Marvel franchises... wrote this book.
Because he was really, apparently, we were trying to do some research on this. Didn't that article say that Stan Lee did Dazzler? because he wanted to see if there could be.
Yeah, he wanted. I think he
so
was,
when that didn't really work, he tried it again.
He really wanted to have it. Or I you know, look, and I can't, you know, can't. I'm not going to say I don't want to talk out of turn, but maybe he had a thing for Jacqueline Tavares.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I don't that's know if there's a, somebody had a thing
there was
for
something
her.
This reeked. Here's the thing: or somebody had a thing for like this because this reeks of like this woman has some sort of connection to somebody in charge at Marvel and to a record label, or somebody at a record label owed a favor
to someone else,
to
yeah.
someone else at Marvel, and they had a girl that they needed to be involved. They needed the girl involved, and this just happened to be the girl that they were involved with. Like, there's some shady bullshit going on.
It has to be, because it doesn't make none of this makes any sense. Like, how this even came to be, why would you pick this per... whatever. So, we start the comic.
Yeah, let's get into the comic, because there's more bullshit.
And it's long, so we're going to try to go through as quick as we can.
Okay, so basically we start off in, you know, we're starting 10 years in the past, or 10 or 12, however long ago.
When, what's her name? Jacqueline?
Jacqueline Tavares. Oh, Jackie. Jacqueline, whatever. Nightcat. Let's call her Nightcat.
Nightcat. She really loves comics, and she's reading comics, and her dad's a cop, and, like, he's going to go out on patrol, but her mom's a lounge singer, or trying to make it as a singer, and also an alcoholic. So, basically, this is an episode of Intervention.
Yeah, she's a drinker.
So, her dad leaves. It's an episode of Intervention. So, her dad leaves to go do his thing, and the mom is going to leave, too. And she's like, sing me a song. And all these fucking songs are written out, by the way. Like, they just have, like, little music notes and the speech bubbles. But they all have lyrics. And they're all terrible. So the mother sings her a song. Cut to mom in bed. She's dead. She drank herself to death.
She literally, okay, no, what
literally
happened?
Literally drank herself
what happened
to death
was,
that night.
So, well, I don't know if it's that night or if it's just...
that night because it says, like...
But that was the last time the mother saw Gatsby alive. So what you're supposed to believe
is that night she didn't get the part, so she drank herself to death.
Right.
In a night, alcohol.
Well, no, she just she drank herself. She didn't.
No,
get the
I'm thinking it's the same night.
No, I
yes.
think, no, what I think happened was she ended up, not getting the part, so she drank herself to death gradually more, not
no.
literally that.
Because no one, she says nobody ever saw, she never saw her mom again.
But
so
you,
I, it's
it,
the same.
Is it a chance that she just didn't see her mom?
No.
Like her mom went on a bender and just hid?
Well, that's a possibility, but I think what happened is she just got alcohol poisoning, which can happen, and she died.
She drank so much that the mother couldn't stop. And so it's funny.
And then, like, the doctor guy tries to blame it on the music or something.
So she failed as a singer and lost her will to live. I'm like, that's not how that goes. That's not how medicine goes, buddy.
Yeah, you don't get to, like, make commentary on how this goes. Like, could you imagine if every doctor just walked in and he's like, well, it was the music.
Yeah, like if somebody,
like, no, he could have been hit by a car.
He's like, he fell down a stair. He fell down some stairs. I was like, it must have been his... Must have been the comic books.
Yeah, it must have been his failed career as a stand-up comedian. Dude, he got shot. Like,
he got hit. A fucking brick fell off of a scaffold.
Some of the air conditioner fell out a window.
It fell on his head. And it was like, oh, he was. Must have been the jokes.
Nobody understood his comedy.
Just worked too hard. And the orderly's like, all right, I'm going to go empty this bedpan. I'll see you later.
And, like, and of course you know what's going to happen. Like, the dad's like, that'll never happen to you, Jackie. I'm banning all music from ever existing in our house.
I hope he did, like, what they did back in the day. And, like, when they were protesting music, they would just, like, get a steamroller and run over, like, records and shit.
I'm assuming he must have done that with everything. And every time he caught her, like, listening to the radio, he would just, like, throw it outside and run a steamroller.
Anytime there was a radio near, like, he had... He found the music source, and then he took it out into the street, rented a steamroller,
yeah.
and drove it very slowly back all the way over to where it was, just to run over whatever that source of music was. I was still playing.
Yeah.
So he was
ripping out a guy's car stereos, running over iPads, or iPods when they were eventually invented.
Running
over his old lady neighbor's only source of entertainment.
Running over Victrolas, like, just... What if somebody's singing, like, you know, some guy's got a guitar and
he just runs
he's running over, like, hippies playing guitar, you know? So anyways, but she's a rebel. Yeah, so she sings.
Singing in a band, doing really well.
Singing in a band, you know, singing in a, apparently.
And they're going to go for some talent competition or something. And so she goes home to, like, change. And the phone rings. And the guy doesn't even, like, her dad doesn't even say hello. He just picks it up. Because he's like, oh, I'll get it. And he picks it up. And whoever's on the phone is just like, hey, Jackie, so glad you answered. I can't wait to hear your song.
Like, hear your song. Obviously, it's like, hey, remember how your dad doesn't let you play music? Well, I'm going to talk about this. Talk about music, music, music. You love music.
Sure it's you on the phone. Who does that? You just start talking the minute the phone.
The worst person ever. Literally, like,
you just start talking.
It'd be like if I called you and I was just like, I want steak for dinner.
Like, every time. How many times that guy talks to answering machines without realizing that they're answering machines?
Oh, he talks. He gets fooled every time. It's like, hi, we're not home. Hey, that's too bad. You know, but I mean, when you get home, you know, I mean, I know you're not home now, but, you know, and it just beep, and it's just like a conversation for like 3 minutes until it just ends.
Long-winded voice.
And he doesn't stop. Like, he doesn't stop. Yeah, this guy doesn't.
No, he's dumb.
This guy's ridiculous.
So his dad's like, no, haha, never again. And so she's like, okay, dad. And like, she's all sad.
Let's wait, hang on real quick. As we're watching this, of course, we're watching wrestling. And out comes
Arrow.
Our buddy Paul Vernon, who listens to our show, was asking me questions about SummerSlam and stuff.
Stephen Amell.
And here comes fucking Arrow. Now, he's a celebrity.
Yeah.
You'd think, and he's fucking Arrow.
Right.
He comes out wearing...
He's wearing my pants.
He's wearing, literally wearing yoga, like, yoga short pants.
Yeah. I have those pants on right now.
And, like, boots. I mean, he came out wearing, like, he had a hoodie.
Yeah, they kind of just look like, you know, long shorts.
You couldn't make it a bit more of a thing. I mean, and this match ends up being pretty good.
I mean, maybe they wouldn't allow him to use the costume.
I don't know. Is that a thing? That might actually
be a thing that DC was like, or the WB or CW or whatever it is, like, no, you can't use it.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, in WrestleMania's past, for years, Rey Mysterio would come out, like, dressed in some sort of, like, comic book hero.
Yeah, but you don't usually, like, have to get any sort of licensing gig for that. Because it's just like, you could
buy it. But then why couldn't he just come out dressed like Arrow? No,
because that's actually their costume. That's not, I bought this.
Well, could he just have something similar instead of just wearing black yoga pants? Well, I think that was
the whole point of the hoodie, was the something similar, and now he took his shirt off. Because he's like, I don't want to be the only guy here without a shirt. Like, wearing a shirt, so I got to make sure.
He's a pale motherfucker, too.
Well, you know, I am, too. So what do you got?
Well, I know, but he's a movie star. He could have at least had some, I mean, tan?
Does not reach the Arrow Cave.
Okay, excuse me. You can't get fucking Felicity to spray it down with some tanner?
Felicity does not believe in tanner.
I mean, whatever. Bunch of horse shit. Anyways, back to the, speaking of horse shit.
Yeah, so... She calls. She gets replaced in her band by some woman named Heather.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, so this is the thing. And so she calls this guy back up. She's like, I can't come back and sing. You're going to have to replace me with this other girl. And then this other girl's like, haha, you replaced me. And
then she gets pissed because he replaced her.
Yeah, which was, of course,
you told him to. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Because Stanley doesn't. You know, Stanley's like, well, she'll get mad. But she told him, but that's okay because you can get mad at things you tell people.
Bitches be crazy. Haha, Excelsior.
Excelsior, right.
So then, like, she's in college and, like, apparently she's so brilliant. Like, everybody thinks she's smart. And then there's this panel that has no context and it never comes back. It's some guy talking, like, she's in class, okay? Her professor's like, you're so smart, ha. And all of a sudden, from her sitting, there's a panel of her standing, and some guy standing with her that just says, man, I didn't know smart chicks could be, you know, pretty, you want to go out? And she's like, oh, but we're in the dark, remember that my dad's a cop. And then that's it. You never see anything else.
You know what's funny is, like, literally two panels before this, because she's answering the teacher in class, and she's like, which for some reason, like, I don't know why this teacher's like, he's like, professor's like, he's like, you did great, and that paper was great. You must really enjoy this class.
You are smart. You are smart. I am so glad.
You are smart, and I am so glad. It's like, and she's like, my father is a cop.
Yeah, because she's in a criminal justice class. It's like, this comes naturally to you. Ha, 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 ha. Like, I don't know why your professor would ever say that in front of the whole class, but whatever.
I would, yeah.
So, yeah. And then there's this panel.
That'd be like me being in class and just have somebody be like, "You're really good at math. You must understand. You must have seen numbers before, Sean. You know,
Sean, have you ever seen a number?
Do you have like a telephone pad or something? There's like 9 numbers on there, Sean. You're really good at numbers. Well, my dad was a phone. So, you know, whatever.
My dad's not a phone.
My dad's not a phone.
I threw it on the ground.
So then the next day, she's on.
She's shopping with her friend in the record store.
She's doing a record store, and her friend's like, "Wow, look at this great record!" Because you were just in high school, but like, you know,
here's the blonde chick who you got your role instead. And now she's on a record.
Because literally, what happened was, this girl replaced her as a singer in this band.
And they made it big.
And, like, immediately became a superstar.
Yes.
And now she has a record in the fucking record stores, which is called Hot Love.
Uh-huh.
25% off Joan Jett. Also, what else we got here? Rock Roll, The Kinks, Don Henley.
Oh, man, Don Henley. He's gonna sing some Boys of Summer at you.
Yeah, this is End of Innocence back then. So he's, you know, this is a good record. That's a good deal for that right there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a great deal.
You can only get that deal on Columbia House for a penny.
Yeah, back in the day. So she's like, "Oh, hey, didn't you know you know Melissa?" And she's like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Oh, by the way, you're a really great singer. I don't know how I know that, but I totally do. And there's a contest for singers, and you should totally do it."
And the recording contract, because, like, it's fucking, everybody's, they're just. Because
it's like American Idol before they had American Idol.
Literally, they're just giving away contracts.
Like, that's how that works. So, like, why don't you enter? And
why don't you, like, I know you haven't sung, and, like, I'm just suggesting this to you, but, like, you should just, like, go and be, like, a great singer.
Because you're, like, totally good at singing, even though I don't know how I know that, because, like, you haven't sung since you got kicked out of your band.
And I don't even know you. Like, I'm your college friend. Like, I haven't even heard you sing.
But, like, I just know that you're good at this. Ugh. And so, like, you should totally enter.
Yeah.
And she goes, "No." And then she goes, "Oh, yeah, no, I will."
So she goes home to contemplate.
She goes home. She figures out that she's going to do it. And then she's like, "You know what? I'm sitting amongst all my comics. I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it with a secret identity so I don't hurt my dad's feelings."
Her favorite comic books are anything to do with cats.
Yes.
Which.
Yes. So she has kind of two, like, favorite comic books. Maybe three. Maybe she likes some Catman.
Well, I mean, in real life, it would be Catman and Catwoman.
Oh, and Black Cat.
And Black Cat.
That's it.
Black Cat did not have a series back in 1991.
Well, this is what I don't get. I'm like, there's so many cat-based heroes running around. Did you really need to create another one?
Well, they create like 30 here.
They couldn't create her like Songbird or something. They had to go with.
Well, Songbird was a Marvel character, yeah.
Music mice. No, that's a character too. I don't care.
Well, there's Cat Lass and Super Feline.
And Night Meow.
Night Meow, meow. Which I like. And then one of the issues of Night Meow is just like.
A fish.
A fish bone.
Yeah.
She has a pretty. Actually, there's like a lot of blood and cat. Like, okay. So, like, I like this one here, this issue of.
It's just like a really crappy
body. It just says meow, and it's.
Little cats running towards a body.
Towards like an outline of a body.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yes. So she makes a decision.
She's like, "Look, I gotta become. I
need an identity.
I need a secret identity to become a hero.
No, to become a singer.
To become a singer.
That's all she wants to do right now, is to become a singer. So she does, and then you've turned the page.
You turn the page, and, well, here's the thing. She's like, yeah, like, apparently
she turned the page, and apparently she just went out and grabbed something fucking out of Cher's reject pile and threw it on, because it's kind of like the Turn Back Time outfit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe I was trying to put a pin on where this
is. That's exactly what it is. It's the Turn Back Time outfit. If it had shoulder pads and
it's
Randy Savage's shoulder pads and
okay, so this is French. it's Cher from Turn Back Time meets Manhunter.
Yeah, the shoulder pads
meets Randy Savage.
Randy Savage's French and big D. Snyder hair.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, this is the that's where she got the impression. Stan Lee was like, it's like Randy Savage and Cher. And some random DC character that I'm going to fail to give credit to.
Yeah.
But let's put it all in the blender and then put it on a lady, on this lady.
Yeah. And she's even got like a thing in her hair. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But of course, again, all the lyrics are written down because I guess Stan Lee wanted to write songs. So. And they're just terrible.
I was a songwriter back in the day.
I can write a jingle.
Well, he used to be an ad guy.
Exactly.
That's how he got to start.
Jingle,
so, he's written a song.
Yeah. But, like, it just says, don't, like, one of the lyrics is, don't try and play me out. I'm not the one you should doubt. Cross me, boy, and you'll see just what it means to be history.
Whoa, is she going to kill him?
Yes. It's all about killing.
She's smiling and singing.
And obviously she wins.
And apparently she just signs up for this thing without even, like...
There's no lawyers.
No, nothing. She just goes in.
And she's probably still, like, well, maybe she's not a minor yet. And the guy's
she's not
like,
a minor?
Yeah, he's like, oh, well, you know, you have to sign up with your real name. She's like, well, I want to be called Nightcap, but my real name is this, but don't tell anybody, okay? And he's like, okay.
Well, that's right, yeah, because you're right at the part where she wins.
Yeah, I'm over here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought we were just looking at the four people in the crowd thinking that she's fantastic.
No, I already skipped all that.
Well, this is actually another thing, too, and I was reading actually a review of this comic prior to this, and there's a lot of things that they're pointing out that actually I thought she has a lot of blushing.
Oh, yeah. Well, it could also just be that that's the way makeup looked back then. There's a lot of blush.
Okay.
A lot of blush.
Well, maybe Cher wore a lot of blush.
Yeah.
You know this is totally like a Cher thing.
Of course it is. I mean, like...
Because Stan Lee's like, that's it. Like, that's, like Cher's like as far as he as hip as he gets at 1991.
That Turn Back Time video was a big fucking deal. When was that? What, 89?
That was 89. Yeah. So, like, that's as far as he goes, like, turn back time!
No, it was such a big fucking deal because of the outfit she wore in that video.
Well, you know he was like, we're doing this. It's gonna happen. I don't care if it takes me 2 years.
Yeah.
We're doing this shit.
He saw that video and he was like, she has a tattoo on her ass! And then he's like, we're gonna do it.
But fucking, okay, so anyway, they're just literally throwing managers at her.
Managers money, and she just becomes a singing sensation. And she's like the biggest thing. She's bigger than Madonna. She's just great, and everybody's
because she's literally on every magazine.
She's on Rolling Stone. She's on Time. She's on Spin.
So Time magazine.
These aren't like made up magazines. These are ones that exist in our real world. So you have to make sure you remember that sort of stuff.
I like Time magazine.
Yeah,
being one of these magazines because like it's like. Time magazine's got nothing else more important to talk about in 1991. I mean, the fucking Gulf War is going on.
Yeah, Time magazine has nothing more important to talk about regularly, so that's not really a
surprise. I guess not.
So, then she, like, goes home. She's still hiding this whole career from her dad, even though apparently she's such a huge star that she can sneak out and do all these photo shoots without him knowing.
She could be on fucking MTV literally a weekend with Nightcat.
Right, and her dad still doesn't have any clue, and so she goes home.
Her dad is the dumbest person.
He's really stupid. And he's like, hey, I'm standing here by the doorway when you came in just to tell you that I got to go undercover for a long time. So, bye.
Bye.
She's like, oh, that's okay, bye. And I'm like, how convenient.
She's got a lot of blushing, actually. I'm sorry, look at this.
It's a lot of blush.
Maybe she has rosacea.
No, it's just a lot of blush.
But why is she blushing?
She's not blushing. It's blush.
But she just puts it everywhere?
You can put makeup everywhere.
She put it on her ass?
Well, maybe that's just the light, but you could put...
On her arm? Okay. On her biceps?
Yeah, why not? You ever watch drag queens? Trust me, you can put makeup everywhere.
Okay, okay. All right. Okay, great, I'll take it. All right, so anyway, so she's...
Because she'd already decided she was going to move out because it was too weird for her and her dad, but since her dad's like going undercover... She's like, oh, that gives me time to, like, find an apartment. So her manager finds her a magic loft somewhere.
Yeah,
a magic loft
building. And she's like, yay, magic loft.
She's like, I'm going to dance, and there's going to be a gym, and I'm going to have my own recording studio and everything.
Because they're going to build a recording studio in her fucking house because fucking
she's
acoustics.
She's that amazing.
We're just going to fucking build it like we're fucking...
I'm sure Beyonce has one.
Well, yeah, but Beyonce has a giant house and probably, like, the best, like, stuff. Like, this is literally, like, a brownstone. In like the back bay of Boston, you know, and they're just like,
that's
oh,
a nice one though.
Anyways,
anyway,
so anyway, so so and so anyway, so she's
Her studio has not been built in her house yet, so she has to go to the actual record studio. And she's in the record studio, like, laying out a track, and she keeps seeing all these guys walk by with, like, metal suitcases.
One of them she recognizes as a bad guy.
And she's like, I should follow that guy.
And so he's...
Because that's Mark.
And so he's on the phone, and he puts the phone, like, the case, like, right away from him.
Yeah.
But it's, like, right by... Like
4 feet away and behind him. Like, that's where you leave your luggage when you have to make a phone call. Right. Not beside you.
Not beside you, like, right or in front of you, like, by your feet.
Behind you, like, in the middle of the hallway.
Like, he just leaves it, like, behind him, and she's like, oh, he's calling long distance, so it'll be a while. And he's, I'm assuming he's just like, 1-800-C... Oh, I can't find the L, goddammit. You know, like, all that's going on. And so she takes the suitcase, finds there's a bunch of drugs in there.
She's like, oh my god, it's cocaine. And then, like...
And she automatically makes a deduction that Amanda Gideon, who is...
The owner
of this building, is in charge of this studio and in charge of all the drugs. Amanda Gideon, who is the most evil motherfucker... Of all.
Yeah.
And so she gets caught by a guy with a metal hand, whose name later we find out is Crack. And...
No, it says it's a ham hand.
Well, yeah,
it's actually referred to as a ham hand.
Ham-like hand, yeah. So, yeah, we got kind of just bump this, so we'll go through this a little bit here. But there's so much crap in here, it's kind of hard to go.
Right, that's the thing. It's like, okay, and then she gets caught, and they take her to this place where Amanda Gideon is, like, trying to soup up people with animal juices.
Yeah, like she's trying. She apparently wants to be like Dr. Moreau.
Yeah,
and create like Except animal people.
The guy that she goes like works with, his name is Dr. Ecstasy.
But it looks nothing like a Dr. Ecstasy. It looks like
I thought he would be like, you know, there'd be a lot of glow sticks and like EDM playing in the background, but none of that is going on.
No, this guy looks like Ava.
He looks like Ava
Gota surgeon.
Yeah. But
he's crazy, and he's like, I'm going to stab this man. I'm going to inject the gorilla serum into
him.
He gives it to, like, some guy with a mustache, and he, like, jumps off the table, and apparently he's an ape man.
But he dies.
But he dies
like
immediately.
Instantly. And, oh, by the way, the new guy that works for Amanda Gideon is Nightcat's father. Oh, my God.
Deep cover.
So they bring her in, and... Nightcat's father's like, wow, that woman looks like my daughter. And then he's just like, I should go help her. But she's already, like, tied down to the table with Dr. Ecstasy. And he, like, takes some cat blood and he mixes it with some chemicals that have an X on it, like the skull and the crossbones.
With other chemicals
so
that
it's
could
poisoned.
Be like his fucking bleach and fucking.
Yeah, and then so he like injects it into her and he's gonna do something else, like stab her with a something.
Well, I don't know what he's doing, though. Literally, the extent of the surgery.
Yeah, he says, I have to do some surgery, but you're like, you just like injected the other guy. Why are you doing more surgery?
No, that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally it. He's injecting her, and that's it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so her father
shows up,
is like, you know, he sneaks away.
And he shoots Dr. Gideon.
Well, he finds her.
Dr.
Ecstasy. But here's the funny thing is, like, he's like, how dare you interrupt me? I'm in the middle of an operation. And it's like, when that operation is on you. And he jumps at him, like, with a fucking knife.
Yeah, with a scalpel. And he gets shot.
And it's funny because he shoots Dr. Ecstasy. And he has that quip. He has this quip where he's like, had to do it. I don't have Medicare.
Wah, wah.
I'm like, all right, whatever.
And so he's like, oh, I can help you. So he's trying, he like unties her, and then the other goons come in, and they like just pump him full of bullets.
He is shot literally 100 times.
Yeah, he's just full of bullets. And she's like, Dad! Because she doesn't understand how secret identities work.
Well, it doesn't matter at this point, because he's already fucking
But he's not
toast.
Dead. Here's, okay, we'll talk about this. Let's
but
talk.
His cover's already blown.
His cover's totally blown. So she like holds him. And then she attacks the goons, and she finds out that, like, she has magic cat powers. So her nails, like, get long and stuff, and she's fast. So she starts fighting.
Because she's no longer Jacqueline Tavares, real person. She is now...
Honest to God, real person.
She's been injected with cat blood and other chemicals, and now she is
Nightcat for real.
For real. And she has... Long. Freddy Krueger nails
and agility.
That are not by any way Lee Press-On nails.
No.
and she has the agility and ninja abilities of a cat.
Yeah, so she, like, what's her name, runs away. The other, what's that woman's name?
Gideon.
She runs away, Nightcat follows, she's like, okay, I'm gonna keep going. Like, Gideon gets in a helicopter.
Wait, I have a question here. What's going on in this picture here? So she's... Wait. So she's shooting these guys,
uh-huh.
And is she just, like, fighting in the background, and these two are just kind of calmly, like,
yeah,
talking?
Yeah, they, like, walk out the door. She's fighting her the other goons. And so Gideon...
Because this is a weird, like, spat of the shot of her,
it's
like...
It's weird.
She's just kind of like, ah, like, you know, Nightcat's in the background going, ah, you know, but there's nobody else there.
Right.
This is weird.
Yeah.
So she whips ass.
And they get in the helicopter
mm-hmm.
after she dispenses the goons. And, of course, she, like, kicks through a window for some reason. Because I don't think she needed to do that. Like, if you look at the page before.
No, this is the window.
Is that a window? Whatever. So she kicks through a window, and she tries to jump from the ground onto the helicopter, which, of course, doesn't work.
Because cats can't jump that high.
But while she's doing all of this, this is what I don't understand. Instead of, like, dispensing the goons and then taking care of her father, she chases a helicopter. And then she goes, oh, wait, I better go check on my dad because he's not dead yet. So, like, she just wasted vital time she could have used to take her dad to the hospital. And now her dad is definitely
dead. Well, her
dead.
Dad, her dad got literally shot like 15 times.
He did. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, 50 Cent was shot 9 times. He lived.
It's true.
So, you know, maybe her dad could have lived.
But he wasn't shot. Was he shot 9 times in the same spot? Because literally the father shot like 30 times in the chest.
Yeah, you know,
like his chest is only so big. And, like, literally it's like they shoot like a fucking connect the dots.
Yeah.
Game piece.
Yeah.
You know, game board onto his chest.
I don't know. I'm not really up on my 50 Cent knowledge. So she's like, oh, Dad, I'm this singer. And she's like, I'm going to make this up to you, Dad. Don't worry.
He's like, I'm dead. So she's like, I'm going to sing forever. But here's, okay, no, well, wait, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so fucking, so she adopts the cat.
Yeah, the cat she got injected with, the cat whose blood.
Because now they're like,
yeah.
Now they're like united for life.
They're buddies.
But
it was at midnight.
But like the doctor, so she's like, well, Amanda Gideon's behind this. And the police is like, well, she's one of the most wealthiest people like ever.
Yeah.
So, and we don't have any evidence, even though we could probably check this fucking warehouse.
Yeah.
And find, like, actually do police work.
Yeah, no, we're just going to say that since she's rich, we're not going to bother.
They literally give up, like,
yeah,
right there.
They really
go,
do. They're like, well, you know, she's rich.
She's like, Amanda Gideon. She's like, I was being
and
tortured.
And that's pretty much how the U.S. justice system actually works. They're like, oh, I'm sorry, it's a rich person? Never mind. We were just kidding.
And then later that night, she calls to find something else. And they're like, all right, the case is closed.
Yeah.
Like, the fastest police work ever.
Yep.
Fastest, most inefficient police work where they're literally like, she's a celebrity, I guess we're done.
Really, this entire police force just became the Gotham police force in the TV
I think it's
show
Gotham. I think this is Gotham. I think it's Gotham, yeah. I think that's...
Because that's pretty much what happened.
I think that's Gordon. Yeah. Actually, that's more like... This is more like Bullock.
Yeah.
Bullock would totally just be like...
He's like, I gotta go get a Danish.
I need a Danish, right? Like, literally... You telling me this is keeping me from getting a Danish.
Yeah, I can't.
I cannot.
I can't. No.
So we can if I believe you, will you buy me a Danish? And she's like, but like a Danish. I mean, like right now. Like, I mean, do you have a Danish in your pocket?
Yeah. If you don't, then the answer is this case is closed.
This case is closed.
And sorry, your dad's dead.
Let's cut to the funeral.
Where she's all sad.
And she's doing all this talking to herself.
And she's like, well, now that Dad's dead, I'm just going to move everything into my own my giant apartment.
And now she's got so much money because she's the best singer ever that only has performed or done. She's done nothing.
Yeah, where she would have had the time.
She did
the
MTV Weekend with Nightcat, and that was it.
Yeah.
And
so she, oh, by the way, she's still living in her regular persona and going to college like a normal person. Even though she's somehow
the biggest
superstar on the planet.
Because if you're on Time Magazine, your professors and your classmates. Even the one
See, she's wearing a wig in her nightcap thing. As you can see, she has regular hair here. So
but no, her face!
Apparently wigs. Wigs. They're magic.
Drag queens do wonders.
They're magic. It's like if you put on a wig, nobody knows who you is. It's kind of, who you are. It's kind of like Clark Kent in his glasses.
And it's funny because when she just walks out of the building and they're like, you know, of her class, and she's like, you know, like her friend from the record store is like, hey, there's a party. And then the other guy, the guy who asked her on a date earlier.
Is that the other guy? Looks like a different
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, no, well, I don't, wait, let's go back. Let's take a look and see
because
here.
That guy has, that's a different guy.
No, it's blonde hair.
No, that's dark hair.
That's blonde. You can tell it's blonde.
I think that's supposed to be the light hitting him. I think he's
no, he's
black
blonde.
Hair.
I think he's blonde because now here he is, just kind of like, "I've been waiting here to ask," and he's like, hey.
"Okay, sure."
So, but she's like, "Fuck off!"
Yeah,
I have to go and record hit songs.
Yeah, so she's recording hit songs, and as she's doing this, all of a sudden, who walks into her recording studio? But
well, because he's like, well, first of all, the guy's like, "You got to go on tour." And she's like, well, I gotta track Amanda Gideon, or Amanda Gideon's gonna find me. And she's like, well, hang on. Somebody's here to see you.
Yeah. And who is this person who's here to see him, or to see her?
It is Stan Lee.
Yes.
With a broken nose. Look at his
it's
nose.
It's honest to God, Stan Lee. Not a guy who looks like Stan Lee. It's actually Stan Lee, and he comes in to ask her if she would like to star in a Marvel comic, the very one that you happen to be reading right now.
Oh, man. How'd that happen?
Isn't that magic?
He works magic.
He does. I mean, he doesn't say it's going to be the very one you're reading, but that's the assumption. That this
he said,
is,
well, he did say we can do a Nightcat mag faster than you can say Excelsior.
And here you are.
And literally, it happened.
And so you're here. And so it's this very odd meta, like, I'm reading this comic book that has real people in it. It's weird. And then there's also, like, narration boxes or, like, editor boxes where Stan Lee himself is like, oh, who else gets to, you know, now every editor is going to want to be in a comic book. Ha-ha!
Well, that's not my favorite, most infuriating book. No. It's coming up in a second.
Yes.
But, so she basically becomes Batman.
Oh, yeah. She's apparently now
Oracle.
A hacker.
She's a hacker slash computer whiz.
Slash great fighter.
Well, she does have the criminal justice background that she's been doing, and her papers are really good.
Her papers are great.
Everybody her father was a
it.
Cop.
Yeah, so she's got
and
that
her mother's
in her
a singer,
blood.
So she's got all that. So she's very good at everything.
Yeah.
And you know, here she is, you know, making the deduction that there's a garbage barge that can't for some reason find a place to dump its garbage. Mm. So she assumes that the garbage, you know, that's a cover for where Gideon is keeping her drugs.
Yeah.
She's made this deduction.
Yeah.
And
she's so smart.
It's bullshit. So she figures this out and she's going to go to the barge. But we get this block, right?
Yeah, oh, yes.
We get this block where it just says, and so,
asterisk.
And you go down and fucking Stan Lee's like, can you believe that we get paid to write captions like that? And I'm like,
yeah. Shut up.
It's like, why are you saying this?
Yeah, why are you even bothering me at the moment? Like, get away from me.
Why are you even that? Well, seriously, like, why
and,
are you?
And he signs it incredulous Stan.
Like, there's a what? He has, like, no.
He has no sense.
He has no sense of, like,
it's,
you know, but he thinks that, like, if a kid or, like, a teenager, somebody's reading this, they'll be like, ha-ha. But, I mean, this obviously, that's why I think that, like, this was not done for any sort of, like, critical gain. Like, this is totally a business money grab.
Yeah.
That it doesn't care if this is any good.
No.
Somebody owed somebody a favor. And Stan Lee's like, well, I'm going to put my dick all over it. And he did. So anyway, so let's just kind of flirt through this here. Because she's like, well, she starts fighting these geeks
she
on
goes,
this barge.
Yeah, goes to the barge. She fights. And then she
fills a explosives on a truck and throws the truck onto the barge and explodes the barge.
Yeah, and then she drives away in, like, this really fancy car.
We don't need to see her car. Which
we didn't know where that came from.
The Cat-a-lack.
And then, like, Amanda Gideon is fighting, but she's, like, she's doing her workout, and she's really upset that this just happened. And,
so she decided
Nightcat makes sure that Amanda Gideon knows it was her, so she gets an invite to, like, some party the next day.
She's invited to a casino that Amanda Gideon also runs, because Amanda Gideon runs everything.
Yeah.
And she gets invited to a casino and to sing.
Yeah.
So she sings, and then apparently her backup dance, you know, at the, just before the performance, her backup dancers, which were ninja dancers, are attacked by real ninjas.
Yep.
And they join Nightcat on stage
and start fighting.
And starting to fight her. So now, mind you, I wonder, like, how long into the performance that they decided to do. So, like, were they just kind of like, she's kind of like, my dancers kind of suck tonight.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, you'd think, I mean, at some point where, because are they just dancing back there kind of like the sharks?
Yes.
In the Katy Perry,
yes, it's left shark and thing. Right shark, and that's all that's happening.
And she's just, like, you guys kind of suck, but whatever, I'll just go through the next half hour of my show without actually
which
saying,
I never rehearse for, because I'm always in class in my other identity. But, okay.
Yeah, she never rehearses. She's a perfect singer all the time.
Yeah, she has no work goes into this. Except every once in a while at night, she goes and puts, like, lays down a new track.
Who writes her lyrics, too? Oh, obviously, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I answered that question. We answered that question.
Stan Lee. Yeah, yeah.
Stan Lee is like, I've been writing your lyrics all along. You want
to
be in a comic book?
I used to be an ad man.
I used to be an ad man.
Oh, we used to be mad men. Let me tell you about those days.
Me and Don Draper smoked all the cigarettes.
Oh, I remember 3 martini lunches. So, anyway. So,
Sal made a pass at me once too.
Took him up on it. Sal's handsome man.
Excelsior, I said. Me and Harry Crane, great guy.
You know who's not appreciated enough? Pete Campbell.
Could we get a Marvel comic book today written by Stan Lee about Pete Campbell?
Oh, God.
About the adventures of Pete Campbell?
I don't want that.
I don't know. Just a one-shot.
Pete Campbell crying.
Can we somehow get, like, an advocate of Stan Lee to sign a contract saying that he has to write this comic book?
No.
He's like, I didn't agree to this. It's like, well, too bad. These are things I want. Anyways, so apparently her...
Yeah, so she starts singing, and then she starts fighting the ninjas when she realizes that they're not really her dancers. And she's like, oh, the crowd thinks this is part of the show, so I'm just going to make
I have a question. Did the ninja, like, slice her arm?
Yeah, he, like, sort of tried to stab her in the shoulder. But she's wearing that giant shoulder pad, so, you know, she's fine. So she fights these guys while singing, by the way, so all the people are still happy. And all the lyrics are still written out.
Her lyrics are weird, though, because they're
so bad.
They're like, I finally found someone. You give me so much joy in a world that's filled with pain. And just one caress to see, you've made to see what you mean to me. I mean,
like, she's first off, these lyrics don't mean anything to her. Like, we've never even seen her, like, except that one guy who hit on her.
Boyfriend. Well, I thought she was
straight. She's singing a song about her dad or her parents. She's singing about, like, finding the one. And, like, it doesn't make any sense. You're like, why did you pick to write this song out? You're just like, these are the lyrics we're going to put in the album that we're actually going to have this woman record.
Well, I'm assuming whoever wrote these lyrics, I mean, somebody had to have written these songs.
Stanley.
Okay, that's right, Stanley. I really think Stanley wrote these lyrics. You're going to sing this, lady. Anyways, so she
vanquishes the ninjas.
Vanquishes the ninjas, goes back, and she runs into Mr.
Like,
Crack.
Yeah, because she's like, I got to go find Gideon. And he's like, oh, she found you first, and then she starts fighting him. The guy with the ham hand.
Mr. Gideon, okay, what the fuck? Yeah, Miss Gideon doesn't like being made a fool of. Why? Tell me. Check it out with Mother Nature. What?
She says a lot of things that don't make any sense. There's another quip she has here in a second that you're like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? And I'll show it to you. So they're fighting. He stabs her in the leg with a knife.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, that wasn't very nice. And he's like, that's too bad. And then he puts, this is my favorite part of this whole comic, he takes off his metal hand and he puts a drill part onto it, so now he has drill hand.
Oh, yeah. Where was he keeping the drill?
I don't know.
Like, that's a pretty big, heavy piece of machinery. Was he keeping it in his pocket?
I guess. And so she gets him to, like, basically stab a light socket or an outlet and get electrocuted.
Hey, wait a minute. Why does he need a knife?
If he has a drill hand?
Well, if he has a metal hand. Like, literally, he has the strongest hand ever.
I don't know.
He can smash and destroy her.
He just really likes the...
And thing. Apparently, she stabs her leg, and she just kind of, like, lays there, like, ah.
Yeah, so when she finally gets him to electrocute this thing, he gets electrocuted, and then out of nowhere, she says, even a kitten has claws. You're like, he didn't call you kitten?
She's like,
call you too young to know what's going on.
She's just been like, I'm a cat!
Like, meow! Like, meow, meow, meow! Like, that's basically what she should have done, because that made as much sense.
So anyway, so she goes up...
There's more goons.
She goes up to the roof.
Yeah.
Goes up to the roof, and she finds, apparently, Amanda Gideon.
Who's just hanging out on the roof.
Hanging out on the roof.
In a sports bra.
Sports bra, and she's literally dressed in a, like a sports 80s bra. 80s
workout outfit, because it's, like, got those, like, high-waisted panty things people used to wear. So then they just fight.
They fight. She's kicking her ass.
Because and this is also the dumb thing. She says, now I'm going to blind her with my cat's eye light. It's a fucking flashlight. It's a flashlight.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm blind. And then Nightcat throws Amanda Gideon over the roof. And she grabs Nightcat's wig, which doesn't come off somehow.
Yeah, somehow it doesn't just fly right off.
Because it should have. I mean, it should have. And then she's like, help me, please, you know. Pull me back up, and she's like, you know what? No.
Well, no. She's like, I'm pulling you down with me.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm fucking you up, and Amanda's, you know, and Nightcat's like, nope, and she slices her hair.
And Amanda falls to her death.
And then she goes back and sing. Oh, well, I'm sorry, 1 week later. 1 week later, she goes to sing, and she's not even facing the audience. Or is she like on like one of those like forums?
She's Sia.
Oh, okay.
Sia never faces the audience either.
It was like, what's the face? Like, Maynard never does that either.
Yeah.
Maynard James Keenan just sits there and just faces like a projection screen the whole time.
Yeah. Like Sia just stands in a corner usually and like turns her back to the audience and sings.
Okay.
Well, so she's Sia.
So Stan Lee figured that out before she. She's like, she's singing the song, I guess a song from earlier that her mom sang.
Yeah.
To her about Don't Change, which it'd be nice if it was like the song from NXS, you know, the Don't Change song.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's some shitty song that Stanley wrote. And that's it.
Yep.
That's it for the book. And then she's like, cat's been on the prowl. I'm going to fight.
Yeah. And so that's supposed to be the introduction to this great new hero that everybody's going to love, except no one... Loved it. It even has on the back, there's an ad for a t-shirt.
Of the cover of the comic.
Also, another thing to mention for this book, there's no ads in it.
Well, it's a prestige format, so that makes sense. Yeah.
So there's no ads in it. There is a song, which you can find on YouTube.
Well, I'm going to find it. I don't find
Sean's,
it.
Sean's going to put something.
You're going to hear it at the end of the show.
Not the whole thing, though, right? Maybe just a
Why not the whole thing?
Because it's bad.
I don't know.
All right, we'll figure it out. Whatever you want to do.
Well, maybe we'll close with it a little bit.
So you'll hear it
soon. Ooh, but the shirt is signed by the Nightcat because she's a real person.
She is a real person.
And Stan Lee.
So here's the other fun thing about this.
I hope it's an ironed-on, like one of those really shitty teacups.
I'm sure it is. So here's the thing
Personally ironed by Stan Lee.
Here's the thing about this woman. So if you Google her, there's barely anything out there about her. She apparently did this, and then she got fired from Marvel for being in a music video.
Well, music in a music video, now a music video which I cannot find.
I can't find it.
But either. Allegedly the music video was for Joey Buttafuoco, who I didn't know sang.
No one knows he did a song.
I don't think he sang. I think she's just like, Joey, you know, somebody, they just look for a really good reason, because whatever.
Well, they also said that she had posed for Playboy. That was another thing, and that's one of the reasons she got released from her Marvel contract, is because she did this video, and then she posed for Playboy. And then she also had a very small part in, what's it called?
Tromeo and Juliet.
Tromeo and Juliet.
Which, you know.
So she was apparently in that. But now, if you mm-hmm. Google her, mm-hmm. the only thing that I can find is there's a Twitter and a MySpace, but they all link back to naked.com, where she is a cam girl.
Yep.
Yep. But that's all I can find about her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she got this opportunity in the first place. I don't know why she didn't do anything else until now.
Well, I mean, what else? How much further up can you go once you get this done?
But that's the thing. I was just like, was she just pulled from like a casting, or did somebody know her and be like, "Oh my god, this is the chick I'm fucking. Please give her a comic book."
It's the second. It's got to be the second.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
I know. Well, because there's. I mean,
if it was a casting, I'd be like, "Oh, so they just had this idea and they cast somebody and then they drew the character. They created this character around her." Because they wanted somebody to, like, play all these parts in the media. It still doesn't make sense. Because
she's, like, the most random girl that had,
yeah, that's
like,
the
nothing.
Thing.
Like,
that's why I thought, well, maybe it could be a casting. And they were just
well,
like,
well,
because
if you found, like, if you look back for her name, you'd be like, oh, well, maybe she's some other girl that was, like, in some show.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, she's in New York, and maybe she was, like, a bit player on Fame or something.
Yeah, something like
that. You
know,
or some Broadway actress
she
or something.
She did commercials.
Like, yeah.
Something. But nothing. There's nothing. I can't find anything.
Nope.
So, and apparently she was created, turned into a... I want to kickstart a documentary,
yes.
To go find this woman and figure out what the fuck's going on.
Apparently she's in Florida doing camps.
Yeah, well, apparently I could tweet at her and be like, hey, can you take some time out of your cam work to, like, talk to me about this?
Do you want to talk about this? Are you...
Are you, like, bound by an NDA? Like, what's going on? Tell me what happened.
Oh, you know there's an NDA.
How long do NDAs last? Forever?
This one did.
If she talks about
Stan Lee, will literally, you know,
well, like
come to
maybe
her house.
No, maybe she never saw. Maybe it wasn't a thing back then. This was 1991.
What, they didn't have NDAs back then?
I don't know. Did they?
They had to. I mean, they had to have some sort of.
Yeah, but did everybody sign one? You know how everyone has to sign one now for like.
This was the first
thing?
NDA. Stan Lee drew it up and said, "Blam plow! If you talk about this, I'll kill you."
I don't know.
This is a legally binding contract. It just says "Blam Plow" on
it. If you know anything about this, please let us know, because I'm just like, what? It just makes no fucking sense. It is the weirdest, most bizarre thing I have ever seen.
Two questions.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that Nightcat will show up in the Marvel Lego games?
Sadly, no.
They should have a segment in the Marvel Lego games where you're just like, holy crap, look at all this Nightcat.
And
what
she's
are you
just
doing?
Like standing in like a bar singing.
Yes!
Oh,
yes!
Playing the song that you're going to play at the end of this episode.
This is even too meta for Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool
will be like, no, I'm out.
Deadpool's like, I'm not touching that. I ain't talking about that.
He's like, you know what? No. There's some times that even I have to walk.
Yes. And would you read the next issue of this?
If the next issue explains how the fuck this woman got an actual comic book and why, yes. If it answers all the questions I need to know, like, who did you fuck to get this comic book? Or whose idea was it? And were you just a casting call? Like, if it answers those questions, yes. If not, no, I don't care. I have... enough cat-based heroes in my life. I don't need another. I'm good.
Yeah, she's on the list of cat-based heroes.
It's too long.
It's kind of low.
Yeah,
I'm pretty impressed that I found this.
Does
Collector's Paradise know that they had this? It was somewhere they like. Because I feel like what if this is rare? This costs. Should I get this graded?
Go ahead. Get it graded. It's not going to be worth shit, but you can if you want.
I
want
to know if it's worth anything.
Oh, like, it can't possibly be. I mean, unless it's just like, unless we kickstart a documentary and we find out some weird fucking story about it and then everyone wants to read Nightcat, I can't imagine it's worth anything.
We're bringing it back. All right. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. I am, you can find me on Twitter. I am at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN. Also on Instagram, and my Tumblr is theangryhero.tumblr.com.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. jenstansfield.tumblr.com, jenstansfield.wordpress.com.
All right, that's it for this week, folks. We will talk to you guys next time.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.